6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish your outdoor wood projects with Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Australian Timber Oil is an exterior stain that provides maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency, making it ideal for decks, siding, outdoor furniture, and more. Save big money at Menards on Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Let's get it. Welcome to the Dead Son Show. We have meaningful conversations about life through the lens of fatherhood. It's for fathers, those with fathers, and the fatherless, so nobody's left out. These are the conversations I want my sons to access as they grow through life into manhood, so no topics are off limits. I'm your only host today, D. Johns, but we got an amazing guest, Mr. Johnny L. Collins II. Welcome to the show. How are you, my brother?
Yes, sir. Good. Good to be here. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking. And if I wasn't doing well, I would tell you, and I hope you would do the same.
I would listen.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, man. How you, how's your week going? It's midweek. We can have a weekend.
It's chaotic right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll figure it out.
That's part of the process?
A little bit, yes. Yeah. Just another day in paradise, man.
Okay. What do you do?
I'm in the title business. So Texas Title Business, Community National Title is our brand here locally in the DFW area. And then we have a couple of other brands in some other areas. But
other states or just other parts of Texas?
Just Texas. Okay. Texas is 52 states in itself, you know.
True story.
So the Texas title business has been good to me.
Yeah.
We're on a 16-year run. And
nice.
I wouldn't trade it for the world.
How'd you get into it?
You know what? Randomly, we were in the mortgage banking industry and basically got kind of a obscene offer from a title company. And I was talking to my business partner at the time. I said, we should open up our own. 9 months later, we had our own. And that was 16 years ago.
Nice. So it's working.
And I wish it was a sexier conversation.
Yeah.
It was that simple.
Well, sometimes those are the most profitable, most sustainable business. I had a partner that was actually pursuing opening a title company in Texas, and he faced some challenges.
Who was it?
I'll tell you offline.
Oh, yeah, because I know him.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. I'll tell you offline. But it seems like that's one of the... So I was never in the real estate industry, but I'm a curious guy, mm-hmm. right? So when I bought a house... And we had to pay the agent. It's like, what are we paying the agent for? So I went and pursued the licensure.
Yeah.
I just never hung my license with a realtor.
Yeah.
Same thing with insurance. Like, why are you getting a percentage of what I'm doing? So I went and figured it out.
Yeah.
I never thought about the title piece of it until he started breaking down the titles involved in every transaction.
Yeah, it is.
I said, wow. And he started talking about the numbers. I said, okay.
But I'll be honest with you, title is the bottom of the food chain. And I tell people all the time, you know, it sounds sexy. You know, the title business is one of the few businesses in real estate where you have to really be good. You don't have to be a good realtor to make money. You don't even have to be a good loan officer to make money. In title, somebody has to be good somewhere. Otherwise, there's going to be a problem. There's going to be legal ramifications.
Okay.
You know, it's a different game.
So process driven or actually getting the business of both?
Well, we'll start with the process.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to be a handsome guy. You know, I'd like to think I've been doing it for a long time, but it's another thing to actually talk to the lady.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Or know what to say.
I got you.
That's kind of the perspective.
I got you. Got all the game in the world, never used it.
Never
been on the court.
Or the look and no game.
Got you.
Yeah.
Got you. So this platform is it's called Dear Son. The tagline is what I wish my father told me. So it's in the vein of having conversations that biological fathers and sons should have.
Sure.
but often don't. Mm-hmm. So we stage those conversations here. So that's the tone of it. Your wife was a guest. She graced the table before.
Yeah.
And committed you to it. So
she did.
You're here. It doesn't look like you were forced. You showed up. So I appreciate that. But let's talk about your fatherhood journey from the child's perspective. Where'd you grow up? Who was in the house?
Well, I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas. And, you know, both my mother and my father were in the home. I have two younger siblings. We're all 5 years apart. I'm the oldest. My brother is the youngest, so we're 10 years apart. My sister is in the middle, so that's the five stack.
Sure.
But I had what I think was a great childhood.
Sure.
I don't have any complaints that my father did die at 47 when I was 21.
That's eerily similar to my father was 20 and his dad was 46.
Yeah. Yeah. So that had a ripple effect.
Sure.
Specifically when you consider my little brother was 11. You know, so his experience as John L. Collins' son was totally different than my experience.
Sure.
I was able to experience the fullness of having a father up until being a young, what I call a young man, a young, sure, immature man. And then my sister's experience was totally different. So stable home, grew up really well. Matter of fact, didn't even realize how well we were growing up. I think that's a testament to the balance,
sure,
that was provided by my parents. And entrepreneurial people, learned a lot. Man, wouldn't trade it for the world.
What do you remember most about your father growing up?
He was a presence, you know. He just was a presence. And, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to explain to people that haven't experienced the love of a present, really present father.
Sure.
You know, when my father walked in the room, you know, any room, everybody stopped, you know, for many different reasons. Either he was the boss, either he owned the building, either he was the, you know, he was the deacon, you know, there was always, his titles were always titles that came with some measure of respect and authority.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a very fair man, but he was hard. And his yeas were yea and his nays were nay. And I think if I could sum him up, he just was an old school man.
Sure.
You know, you say you're going to do something, do it. If you pull your gun out, you better use it.
Mm.
You know, if you tear up, make sure it's tore up before you call, get some help to fix it. You know, just an old school guy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you mentioned that you're the oldest and your younger siblings had different versions of your father, different experiences.
Sure.
My dad was oldest too, oldest of four. And I'm struggling with the math right now. His youngest sister is significantly younger than him. It was him and three sisters. But I know he felt the pressure after his dad passed. He was in Vietnam. He came home from Vietnam, buried his father, and went right back.
Yeah.
But he felt this pressure of kind of being the lead of the family, or I won't say he was the patriarch of the family at that stage, but just stepping into that male lead as a man.
Sure.
But not having a guide as a man going through manhood.
Mm-hmm.
What changed for you, or what was the... Was there any pressure when your father passed for you to perform, be different, show up differently for people, or what changed about you?
You know, I think what changed is it was, you know, I just took the baton. That's a great question in my life. And if my wife was here, she'd both give the side eye, but she'd be very proud. If my mother was here, she'd be very proud. If my brother and my sister were here, they would have nothing but admiration, you know, for me in that. Okay. So just put a pin in that.
Got it.
In my own experience, it's what I was made. It's what I was built for. Like my relationship with my father was always teacher student. It wasn't until the later years, right before he became ill with cancer.
Same.
That we move towards some type of, I don't want to say friendship, because it was never a friendship, but it was a relationship where I maybe walk up to him and just give them a play hug and you know what I mean? But any other time it's like, boy, get off of me, boy.
Sure.
You know, straighten up, you know. But he built me to be who I am and who I was at that time. In the face of death, he gave me very clear instructions on what to do, how things should be done. When he became ill, I immediately knew my job was to be strong for him and not to show weakness. He's always tell me, you know, a weak man may survive, but he won't save anyone. A weak man may survive, but he won't save anyone. And my father was really big on making sure that as a man, you know, that your family could depend on you. One of my other mentors once said, can your family turn to you when they need help? Or do they have to depend on somebody else? Another person told me that, but that was absolutely what I grew up hearing in a different way from my father. Yeah. Like, you should never, and my uncles, you should never have to go outside of this family for anything. If you lose a house, if you lose a car, if you're sitting over there in the dark, that's on you. Open your mouth, come tell us what you got going on, and we'll fix it, right? And, you know, that just was kind of the backbone of the Collins side of my family. That was the Collins way. Like, don't be over there struggling, you know, by choice.
Yeah, so much of that resonates. The part that stuck out for me the most was when you almost said friend and then caught yourself that your father wasn't your friend. My dad told me very early, I'm your father, I'm not your friend. I can't afford to be your friend. And you can't afford for me to be your friend. So it sounds like they were from similar schools. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but are you, I know you're a father of a son and a daughter. What's your take on parent-child friendships? Have you adopted the same, or are you a little bit more relaxed, or?
I'm conflicted.
That's honest.
Yeah, my son, my dog, it's my guy. I spend more time with my son than I do with anybody else in the world, you know, at this stage of my life.
Sure.
And, you know, I just want the world for him, man. Yeah. So it's just different, right? And my experience in life is not my father's experience. My father got it out the mud.
Sure.
I started off on the roof, right? So it's like certain things that he had to suffer through. You know, I didn't suffer through those things.
Sure.
Now, life is life. I tell people all the time, it doesn't matter where you start, whether it be financially, emotionally, whatever it is, there are certain elements of life that you're going to have to go through regardless. And normally, based on your collection of experiences, that'll dictate, you know, how you receive or you don't receive, how you blend in, how you mesh, you know, just what your interactions are, right? So with my son, I definitely started off, I'll take you backwards. When he was about 2 years old, I thumped him. And these are some old farm hands. I mean, if I thump you, you'll know it. You know, if I thump a grown man, he's going to fight me, right? My wife saw that and immediately started crying. And just a look of rage, you know, came over her face. Because I thumped him, and he looked up at me kind of startled, and, you know, he cried like a little baby. And you can only imagine the words like abuse, tyrant. I got called a lot of things that day. Mm. Haven't hit my son since. Never touched my daughter in terms of spankings, right? We chose a route that was a bit abnormal for folks that look like us in this part of the world. But I take great pride in the fact that, you know, inwardly, that I've never touched my son. I popped him about 2 months ago. We were at training and I was trying to show him something, and he was a little frustrated with me and he kind of flailed his arm. And it just, you know, I just jawed him just a little bit, man. It just kind of was reflexes. Yeah. And then I tell him, hey, man,
I'm here.
You know, yeah. And I touch you up, like relax.
Yeah.
Like relax. If I'm telling you something, straighten up and fly right and listen to what I have to say, because I'm not speaking to hear myself talk when I'm with you. And so I think that was more about him kind of developing into a man and kind of finding his way. But I loved it.
Yeah.
I love the fact that he kind of bowed up.
Yeah.
Because one thing that I know that we have not done is I have not beat the fight out of my children. They have fight in them, and they, you know what I mean? They'll figure it out.
That's so far so good. So far so great. I grew up getting beat.
Yeah.
Like, and it wasn't, I always say it wasn't abuse by the standards of then, but that was the way.
Yeah.
When I had a son who was my third child, so it was girl, boy, I belabor this with my listeners. I keep saying, I thought he was a punching bag. I was like, ooh, finally I can be aggressive with a child, which is somewhat toxic in retrospect, but I couldn't put my hands on my daughters. I was clear on that. I never wanted them to think that that's how a man adjusts a situation with a woman, or that that's what needs to happen for them to respond to a man, is for a man to put their hands on them.
Sure.
And they responded to my look or my tone, so it wasn't necessary. But I assumed my son needed whippings when it called for it. But I got to a point later than you. It wasn't two, maybe probably 7 or 8 with him. Well, I realized I was whipping him out of my frustrations for what I hadn't actually taught him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having these expectations that he'll be like this, he'll obey this way, and he'll do these things. But I hadn't been clear on setting the expectations. And also, he didn't need to be beat to respond to it.
Sure.
I could look at him like I look at my daughters, and he would respond. So actually, through this podcast started because of my relationship with him and ensuring that we would have meaningful conversations about the things that I was just winging and not discussing. And we got to a place where I let him grade me on the podcast. I've been at it a few years, and he'd come on from time to time. And I say, you know, where's our relationship? And the most impactful thing he said to me last time he was on, he said, Dad, you're more relatable now.
Sure.
I feel like I can come to you. And I was grateful, but it put in perspective, like, all of these years that he felt he couldn't actually come to me because he didn't know how I would respond.
Sure.
Like, were you going to get a whipping? Was Dad going to be mad? Was he going to be beefing? Was he going to yell? He was going to scream. And I put all this stuff out here on the platform because I know that there are men being fathers based on what they experience.
Yeah.
And not necessarily fathering their children for who their children are. So I love that you said it, because it didn't sound like, though you let go of the physical aspect of it, traditional whipping, because I got whippings, I don't know about spankings, I got whippings. But it doesn't sound like you released him from being disciplined.
No.
What was that piece of it like?
A spoken word to my son can crush him, man.
Mm.
And what's funny about it is, as I'm telling you this, right, and there's this, there can be a universe where, oh yeah, that guy is so great because he doesn't whoop his kid. The spoken word is way worse than any whooping, any beating. I have to be careful, right? Because I can come across as pretty hard or intense or crass, whatever the word is, right? And I had to be careful in how I manage, you know, myself in conversations around my children, specifically when I'm frustrated. Because the last thing I want to do is speak negativity. Speaking negativity into your children is far worse than whooping them.
Mm.
You know, more kids have been damaged by what their parents told them, right, or spoke into them, than they ever whooped, right? Especially if it was a whooping in love,
sure.
Okay? So I want to make sure that I make that clear. So the work for me has just been on that side. And one of my mentors told me it's better to be absent than to be present and not engaged. So the way I kind of come into this conversation is, if you're present and engaged, which is a task, it's tough because we have things moving in our lives and sometimes it's a challenge, right? But if you're working hard to be present and engaged, you have something to talk about all the time. And it's tough not to share, you know, common interests with your children, your spouse, or the people that you're engaged with. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So it's just a scenario where I think, you know, we manage our way through it. It's a daily work.
Sure.
And it's something that's important to me with my children.
I want to jump back to something you said about your father as he was transitioning. Sounds like he prepared you in death, in his demise. But it also sounds like he was preparing you all throughout your life. Like, what shows up the most today in who you are in terms of that preparation?
Well, let me say this. When we got to the part where he was dying, he said, this is what we've talked about. Like, so it was absolutely, my relationship with my father was never friendly. It was always teacher student.
Yeah.
It was always more like grasshopper. You know, this is do this. What shows up today, is something that he used to always say, you know, you got to learn how to figure out how to figure it out.
That's a skill.
Yeah. Figure out, the man who can figure out how to figure it out will always eat. That was he told me that in 50,000 different variations. All right. That's the biggest thing that's shown up for me. It's just the ability to get into a bad situation, remain what appears to be calm, right, and figure it out. Just flat out figure it out. I'm one of those people where I've had a lot of failures in my life, but I've had enough successes that were bright enough to where it overshadows the failures.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I only say that to say I've had a lot of failures. I mean, a lot of failures. Some of those failures I just continued to bathe in with the thought of, no, I'll get it though, but I'll figure it out. We talked about me being in the title business. When I should have quit the title business, it was just my pride that kept me in. It's just like, I'm not going to let these people run me off, you know, my porch. We done built this. It's like, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to figure it out. And we've done that. And that's not by accident. I really believe that's just something that's been ingrained. And it's a will. You know, there's a lot of different characteristics that are attached. But I learned that on the farm, you know, growing up, you know. The farm is cruel. You know, you touch the wrong plant, you got sticker bugs in your drawers, on your face, on your legs. You know, you're swelling up, your eyes swell. You know, the farm, you make a mistake when you're on the tractor, you know, and you lose an arm. Or you changing the disc, you lose a finger, right? Everything plays for keeps when you grew up on a farm. And so that was like very important in my upbringing because it just kind of gave me a different kind of tenacity.
Yeah.
You know, you spend summers with a post hole digger. You know, you learn how to do real work. And so when you get up here and these guys complaining about work, you know, that's light work. You know, I can show you some real work.
Yeah.
You're sitting in the air conditioner talking about this hard work. That ain't hard work, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's just the lessons and the environment that was set for me when I was younger that really helped.
Yeah. The pride that didn't let them run you off. Is there a scenario where being prideful went wrong?
Yeah. 1,000 times. You might run me out your house for the day is over with. It's something I deal with, you know, pride. My financial advisor tells me that your ego will F you every time.
Each time.
He always tells me that. And he's been telling me that for years now. And I have another mentor who loves me. And he always says, it's okay to sometimes make yourself small. Now, you never hear people say that. It's always never let them make you small, right? But he tells me it's okay to be just quiet in the room.
So that was what has been, I won't say struggle, it has been my approach. Is I've been that small, quiet person in the room where in my corporate life, though I made it, quote unquote, I'm out of it now. I've been out of it since October 22.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I need that perspective as well. But I went through my career only wanting my work to speak for me.
Mm-hmm.
And there were pros and cons to it because my work was stellar and I was in contract. I was government contracting. So there was a way you had to do things. And if you know a bunch of ways to do the things, you can get a lot more things done and people want to work with you because you're a solution. You're a solution, a problem solver, not a problem reporter.
Sure.
So when I got to management, that was kind of the same philosophy that I held on to, but I would never, and I still haven't fully accepted my greatness today. Like, look at me, look at the thing that I'm doing. I always wanted to be quiet, you know, highlight other people. And like I said, let the work speak for me. So when I got to the executive space in corporate and I was interviewing with who would be my peers, people that were already in the executive space, I was in an acting role and I was interviewing for a permanent role. One of the executives said to me, it's like, Derek, this is the first time I know who you are. Mm-hmm. And we had been around each other for a couple of years, but I was so hardline, do my work. I don't go into meetings laughing and joking where I see other people laughing and joking because there's not a bunch of people that look like me in the meeting. And I don't want to be the fun guy or the funny guy or the guy that's just there to make jokes, right? I took myself way too serious. And he said, I didn't know you had a sense of humor. And what he would, and even in that moment, I was pissed at him because I thought he was trying to grade me out of the opportunity, but he was actually giving me solid feedback, like, open up, like show more of yourself. It's not, life isn't as serious as you're making it. Open up, adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro. And I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge, and now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
It's all in perspective now, so it's interesting as I'm shifting into this next phase of my life where entrepreneurship is how I earn, and some days are much darker than others, and sometimes I'm angry at God. It's like, why did you take the job that I asked you to take from me? That kind of thing. Through your entrepreneurship journey, like what is the moment where you were rethinking things as a husband, as a father, and an entrepreneur?
Rethinking from a perspective of what?
Is entrepreneurship right?
Never.
Never.
Never. Not one day in my life. Now please understand. Well, I'm just going to talk my talk. I have never opened my eyes in the morning and said, I wish I had a job. Now, what my wife would tell you is, I walked away from $300,000 jobs. I mean, just walked off the job. Not say 100,000. Let's just say 6-figure jobs. I just walked away from them. Y'all can have it. Like, you couldn't give me $1 million and make me come back. I just don't want to do it, right? Now, if you ask me why, I have no idea.
It's just in you.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know if it's in me or not. You know, I just always say, you know, God has provided. I'll tell you this. There's a story in the Bible about Job.
Mm-hmm.
You said you were mad at God. I'm always intrigued when I hear people say that.
Short-lived.
Either way. You're not as mad as you could be. The story of Job is, you know, the devil's roaming to and fro, and God says, have you considered my servant Job? And I love the story, and I won't bore you with it, but my favorite part is the fourth friend. nobody ever knows who the fourth friend is. They talk about the three guys, mm-hmm. his three buddies that came and sat with him, but there was a fourth one that basically came and cussed them all out and said how quickly y'all have forgotten, you know, about the favor yeah. and how faithful God is, right? For me, mm-hmm. I never, and I'm a holy roller, man. I grew up in all that, right?
Yeah.
I'm a church kid, and I'm not as much of a holy roller today, but it's in me.
Sure.
And I just never wavered in that. I have some things that I'm dealing with right now that why my day is bad, which are really, 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 really great, right? Would be really great. And they'll work out. I know that they will. I don't know how. And it's really storming outside right now around this stuff. But it's going to figure it out. I'm going to take this time and come be with you today. It's probably the worst possible time for me to come do it. But it's important to me at this stage of my life to take time and do the things that I committed to do.
Sure.
But also do the things that you just never know how God is going to work in a scenario. You never know how the messaging is going to be received by someone that's beyond you or outside of you, right? Sure. And so you have to be present.
Sure.
In this life.
One thing that I'm learning to do more now is share more of my challenges with my children. How much of your challenges do they see or do you share to ensure they have perspective of all of you?
Well, I've just gotten to a place with my son where I am sharing more things about myself that I always said I would not share with him. Hmm. But I also just got the first phone call from a young lady's father around my son. Now, here's the good news.
Okay.
What the guy said, I immediately knew, nah, that's not my son. Now, there was absolutely, you know, another voice, you know, on my shoulder saying, what if it is?
Yeah.
But I immediately said, nah, that's not my son. I called my son, hey, bro, where'd you go today? He told me immediately, told me exactly what he did. Everything he told me, I had no proof outside of the fact that this is my son talking to me. I related to the father. The father checked his videos, his cameras at his house and said, you know what? In fact, you're right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it worked out, right? So I'm hoping that me sharing an experience that I had, you know, with my son has taught him, don't never go in another man's house. Because the second you go into another man's house, you are outside of my covering. I even told the father that called me. I say, man, if my son is not who I know him to be and you catch him in your house, all I ask is you don't kill him. You don't break his arms and his limbs, but his nose, his eye, his teeth. Y'all, you got all that. All that's yours. Yeah, yeah. I understand that, right? So I think the more I express and share with my son, I think the more human I become. My father was not human. My father was he just was, he was something else. He was yeah. from another planet.
Yeah.
You know? And, I'm lucky because I have a lot of his friends that are still alive. I say a few of his friends are still alive, and they share things with me that delights my soul to hear, but it also gives me greater perspective on a piece of him that I didn't know, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I'm all about sharing whatever I need to share with my son as much as I can
in
a way in which he can handle it in a healthy fashion.
How old is he?
He's 16.
Yeah.
He's old enough.
Old enough. You mentioned that your pops got it out the mud and you started from the roof. What does that look like for the next generation of Collins to be successful? What does your son start? What did your daughter start?
Well, my daughter started when she was 4 years old. She'd been gone. I knew that the day she turns or she graduates from high school, that she would be gone. That butterfly is going to fly away.
Sure.
Right? Just knew it. My son, he's going to do whatever he wants to do. It's just a matter of what he wants to do. What does the success look like? It looks better than their parents from the standpoint of not having to go through maybe some of the things that we went through.
Yeah.
But I did not have to go through some of the things that my parents go through. It's not a matter of the amount of money.
Sure.
It's just a matter of the ease of entry, right? How lit up is the pathway, or how dim is the pathway? I feel like they have a great light, you know, on the pathway. It's funny because this was not my original idea. This is my boy WC, Warren Campbell. Warren shared something with me that he was going to do for his son. I kind of took it, and I'm doing it for my son now. My son will be 17 next birthday. So I've started talking to a collection of men in my life that are very instrumental, the most important people in my life, where I'll have them spend the day with my son and just talk about what it means to be a man, right? And then when he turns 18, we'll have a, you know, like a party or a ceremony that will serve as a rite of passage. Does that make sense?
It does.
I'm doing that not so much for the celebratory moment, but the greatest thing my father gave me in death was relationships. Like, some of my best friends are 68, between the ages of 68 and 78. And these are my guys. And we have love relationships. And there's nothing I can't bring to them. Mm. There's nothing I can't ask them for. See, in our community, we don't, if you ask somebody, who can you ask for it?
Right.
Right? We don't have a lot of that.
Yeah.
Now, the reality of it is I don't need much. So if I ask for it, it's probably pretty significant, right? And it probably have nothing to do with money. It's more significant to be able to ask for somebody to just simply open the door and give you access, you know, to certain scenarios. Yeah. And that's what my father gave me, man. He gave me that, and it's undeniable. It's been undeniably an asset in my life. And it's helped me tremendously.
This stage of your life, what is something that you're evolving through now that you're learning, you're having revelations about, either through being a father, a husband, leader, business person?
I'll tell you, you know, my daughter is, you know, she's getting good into her teenage years and getting ready to enter high school. Mm-hmm. In 4 years, my wife and I will be empty nesters, you know? And I think the revelation for me is just making sure, you know, that we're on the same page and like really locked in with each other. And, you know, that's a challenge. And it's not like, this is not some weird confession where I'm saying we beefing, because we're not, right? It's just about making sure that we're good, yeah, and in a place to where we can go to the next phase of our lives together, you know, in just a harmonious way, just happily. And the reason why that's important to me, because I'm watching so many other people not be able to do
it. Yeah.
You know, COVID took its toll. Like you're talking about expediting the process.
Yeah.
COVID expedited a whole lot of jokers going to the courthouse and, you know, splitting it down the middle, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's not an option for us. So I just want to make sure it's a healthy union, you know. From a business perspective, it's just figuring out what the next stage is, you know, what do we do next? Yeah. You know, when is the best time to exit? Do we exit at all? You know, life is good. Can it be better? Sure. Can it be worse? Absolutely. You know, just juggling all these things. Quite frankly, my top priority is just making sure that we give as much to our children, and it's our priority, that we give as much to our children at this stage of their life as we possibly can. You know, I'm going to take my boy down to watch the basketball game Monday in San Antonio, right? That's an episodic memory.
Sure.
And we have a handful of them, right? A lot of them, actually. And that's very dear to me. You know, I want him to have those memories. I don't have a lot of memories with my father at sports events. I got a ton of memories at the Forum,
sure,
and him coming to all of my events. But it's like, I want to create as many different, you know, collection of experiences as I possibly can for my children with me.
Yeah.
Because I just think, I know how important it's been for me. So I think it'd be important for them going forward.
What does, I want to be careful how I ask this question. Do your children understand? I say specifically your son. Your son is the older, right?
Sure.
Son is older. Does he have a handle on legacy based on what he sees from you and how he interacts with you?
I wish he was here.
Can happen.
And my daughter could answer this question like a champ.
It can happen.
My children are very in tune with their lineage. Start there.
Sure.
Legacy is second. But their lineage, they understand the lineage. They understand where they come from, who they come from, and what it means to come from where they come. Because in our world, we've put great emphasis on the significance of that.
Mm-hmm.
John L. Collins is the father of Johnny L. Collins II. You know, I am the son of John L. Collins, but I'm the father of Johnny L. Collins III. Since my son was 8, he knew I am the son of Johnny L. Collins II, but I will be the father of Johnny L. Collins IV. And it sounds obnoxious because of the name, but it's not really about the name. It's about whom you belong to and where you're coming from, right? And just making sure, you know, my father always told me, boy, the name don't even belong to you. You know, take care of the name. Do what you're supposed to do based on who the name belongs to, right? There's been many occasions where my children have been watching something and the grandfather died and they cry, get me crying, right?
Yeah.
They never met my father, but he's alive, right? And then as far as their other grandpa, Billy Ray, you know, Tony's father, you know, they love the people, you know, the grandmothers, they love these people. Sure. and what these people have provided in their life. And we're the type of family where I want an open door policy. If I could build a compound and put everybody on the compound, I'd absolutely do that. And I mean, in a heartbeat, right? I thought my brother-in-law was going to do it, but Art Carlson pulled out on me. I'm throwing shot slugs.
Right pew, pew.
But it's like, it's very important. They understand it. They know what it means to me. They know what it meant to my father. They know what it means to the grandmothers and the grandparents. So it's a big deal in our house.
Yeah. I never met a grandfather. And my dad has some documentation about his side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
That was going back to the mid-1800s, which is not a long time back. But it's to have records. There was never 3 generations of John's men alive at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So he never saw his grandfather. His dad, I don't think, saw his grandfather. My sons are the first ones of record. That could have happened before. John's been around for a long time. But what we could see, my sons knowing my father having a grandfather relationship is the first that we're aware of. My dad always said, son, I wish you could have met my father.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, life would have been different if his father, like all everything, the domino effect.
Butterfly effect
clearly wouldn't turn out the way it turned out. But if, hypothetically, I could have met his father, he said, because it would give you greater context of what you have as a father.
Yeah.
Understanding what I had as a father. Hypothetically, what do you think would be the benefit of your children knowing your father alive?
No benefit.
Really?
No benefit. Based on what you just said, the butterfly effect didn't work that way. Now, I know you said hypothetically.
Yeah.
But I'm one of those people, I choose not to play in that world.
I respect that, yeah.
Because if my father had been alive, I wouldn't have married my wife.
Same. Yeah.
I'd have went out to California. I mean, I'd have been in a totally different scenario.
Sure.
But because it was time to answer the call.
Sure.
You know, you answer the call and you do whatever answering the call comes with,
yeah.
Right? And I think that that has been the greatest gift in death that my father gave me.
Sure.
was having me ready to answer the call. Because everything they would have gotten in my father, they're getting from me. You know, except for probably being 10 times more spoiled. My son would have 9 horses by now. You know, he would have taken great delight in just spoiling them.
Yeah.
Right. But other than that, you know, love, you know, all the buttery goodness that comes from grandparents, you know, that you already know about.
Yeah. I am one.
Yeah. 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 It's not a whole lot more that they could have gotten.
Yeah.
And they have grandparents and they're getting a phenomenal experience. You know, I have a stepfather, who's the only grandfather they know from my side of the family. My mother got remarried.
Gotcha.
And he's a wonderful man. Like, that was my experience with a grandfather on my father's side. Daddy Jack was not my biological grandfather, but he was the only grandfather that I ever knew. And he taught me a lot of stuff. You know, he was my guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think they're getting what they need.
Yeah.
You know,
my father explained to me, I questioned him about who he was respectfully, because my dad, you know, like you said, if he thump you,
you'll know, you're going to feel it. Yeah.
And I just had to kind of respect for him anyway. But questioning who they are as grandparents versus who they were as parents, my dad says, son, as a parent, I got some things wrong.
Yeah.
As a grandparent, I have a second opportunity to correct some of those things. And he said it and I took it. But now that I am a grandparent, like we have three generations in the same house, I never thought that would be my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, my daughter made a decision that.
Here we are.
And here we are.
Yeah.
And I love my granddaughter. And it's weird to live through it and understand who my father is now, because he didn't have the opportunity to understand who his father was as a man.
Sure.
And this is going to be kind of the last question that I had to get off. And I kind of set you up for it at the beginning, if you caught it. But the show is, dear son, what I wish my father told me.
Yeah.
What's something that you wish your father told you?
I want to be thoughtful in that.
Respect.
You know? I wish he would have told me how much I would have missed him. And I'm fighting to keep myself together right here. I never forget, we were coming back from a state basketball tournament. And Kirk Franklin had this song that said, I Remember Mama.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I'd ever seen my father cry. I probably was in the seventh grade. And he pulled up on the side of the road and he cried for about 10 or 15 minutes. Not a long time, but that was a long time. And I was mortified. So because he was not an emotional man, my thought process around emotions was probably flawed, right? But as I've gotten older, at 46, I'll be 47 here this summer. My father died at 47. You know, I just miss him. I miss him more today than I've ever missed him before. I need him more today than I ever needed him before, right? And so I wish he would have just told me, you're going to miss me. And what's crazy about it, he did it right, because what dad would say that, right? I tell my son, there will come a day where I won't be here to help you.
Yeah.
But you'll remember this. And it won't make you feel good at first. But after you think about it, it'll be a great delight in your life. It'll be a great delight in your life.
Man. I got one go back, because it birthed a derivative of that question. What's something that you're intentional about with your son that he'll never have to wish that you told him when you're gone?
Pick it. I love him. You know how people say don't spoil your children? Yeah, whatever my son wants. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean that in the fullness of what I just stated. Whatever he wants, I'm going to give it to him. Now, I'm going to give it to him with conditions in some scenarios, but in most I'm not. The reality of it is my son go to school every day with a black t-shirt on, black jeans, and black shoes. Like, that's not even his thing, because of just, he's always had access to it. He understands it. He knows that money is just a tool. But the end game is just to be happy and to be fulfilled and fully expressed within this collection of moments called life, right? And this is something that he and I have talked about a lot. So it won't be by accident. You know, I want him to experience this life for the fullness that it can provide you. Right? I don't want my decisions to limit my children's ambitions or dreams because of my financial or emotional deficits. So financially, I'm going to make sure that I do what I need to do to make this tool called money available so they can throw some money at a problem to get the tool they need to make it work. And then emotionally, I'm going to do what I need to do to be better so that when we get into those scenarios that require some thought, even though it may not be as stable for most, I can make the best possible decision or choose to wait and be still and wait on a better outcome or better timing to get to the outcome. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Johnny L. Collins II, I appreciate your time here, sir.
God bless, man.
It's been a gift. I know it'll be a gift to many. Do you care about people finding you on social media? Or?
No, man, I don't care. JLC Deuce 817, Johnny Collins 2817 on Instagram, Johnny Collins on Facebook.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It'll all be linked down below. So if you're on an audio platform, check the notes. If you're on YouTube or Facebook, it'll be linked down below as well. This has been a wealth of conversation for me. I have to show this because this has been something that I've been running from. For those on audio platform, I'm actually showing a hard copy of my book, like a physical copy of my book that's been an ebook that I haven't been promoting because I've just been in my head. But it's close. There's some things I need to touch up and have it reprinted, but it should be available in April. But this is it.
That's awesome.
It's more than a myth, guys. I have it. Dear Son, 20 Life Prompts that Facilitate Effective Parenting. It requires some work from you based on a lot of work that I've done that I feel is universal. So it's a parenting perspective through the lens of fatherhood.
Man, that's great, man.
Appreciate that. So with that, that's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.